I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
But we do start today with basketball. Last night, where Auburn handled another home game against a tournament team, according to Joe Lunardi last night. And Bryce Brown had a big game, a lot of backdoor cuts and slams. There was a scary moment in there where Jared Harper got hurt. He rolled his ankle, hurt it a little bit, and he played 27 minutes, but he was even a little different when he came back from that, and he's such an important part of what they do. But a 76-62 win for Auburn last night as they looked good again at home. They always look good at home.
Well, yeah, I think it was kind of ho-hum, though, Brown, when you look at this. And look, Auburn did a great job of turning Florida over. And I said this yesterday. To me, Mike White has got a very average squad.
Yes.
And for Lunardi to have these guys in the dance right now, they've lost 3 of 4. They're sitting at 12-10. They're 4-5 in conference. Very, very average product from Florida. So this is one of those games that Auburn had to win. You mentioned Harper. That was a scary moment with the tweaked ankle. Okiki goes down hard, too. He has to leave the game. But all in all, Auburn did exactly what they needed to do. And you look at their last three outings, they've won by a combined 69 points. So they're starting to dominate. They're winning these games going away. And this is what we expect at Auburn. Now they got to go on the road. And, you know, it gets a little trickier for Auburn.
You know, so much of what we talk about Auburn is about the three-point shot, and they were 9 of 25 last night, 36%, which isn't spectacular, but still around their season average. But Florida was 4 of 20, and you're probably not going to beat Auburn anywhere shooting 4 of 20 from beyond the arc. You're sure not going to beat them in Auburn shooting 4 of 20 from beyond the arc. So Florida couldn't buy a bucket from the outside, and that's how you end up getting beat by 14 in conference.
Here's Bruce Pearl, because this was the first time Auburn had beat Florida in the regular season in a long time.
We'll enjoy this one tonight. Historic. Yeah. It's historic.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't beaten them here since 1999. That tells you how good Mike and Billy had this program for a long, long time. But it also tells you that we've made, you know, progress.
On the Auburn Network last night, Bruce Pearl talking to the guys there, and that's a long time since you beat the Florida Gators in a regular season game, but this isn't Billy Donovan's Florida Gator program, a transition year for the Gators. You mentioned now next is LSU, and you don't want to put last night to bed too quick, but a road game, LSU, maybe catching them at a really, really good time. I like this game this weekend for Auburn to get the win. This is going to be a fun one.
Well, you know, LSU obviously coming off that loss, and Will Wade has done good things with not a lot to work with outside of a guy like Waters, but this is a very winnable game. I would say right now LSU is probably a 2-point favorite, so that game kind of a coin flip. But back to Auburn losing 21 of the last 22 against Florida. On the broadcast last night, you saw Damian Fishback. That was his team back in 99, and we remember that was probably the last dominant Auburn basketball team that we've seen with Chris Porter and Njai and those guys and Fishback, and that was a Udonis Haslam Florida team.
Good grief.
But I think it shows you the difference in these two programs over the last, you know, 20 plus years.
When did we invade it was the Gulf War. It was after 2001, right? Auburn made a pretty good run.
That was 2003, I believe.
Yeah, the Carmelo year.
Yeah, they lost to Carmelo and Syracuse in the Sweet 16 in 2003.
But that wasn't as dominant an Auburn team as they had a good deep run in the tournament.
Yeah, they hit it at the right time.
The Fishback team was a lot more.
It was a one seed. Yeah. You know, they were upset in the Sweet 16, round of 16. I mean, that was a really, really good team.
Lost to Ohio State, is that right?
It was Ohio State.
Yeah, up in Knoxville, I believe.
And Michael Redd and Scoony Pitt.
Yeah, and the one you're talking about, Jim, Marquise Daniels, just blew up in the tournament and carried that Auburn team almost to the, I mean, they had Carmelo and Syracuse against the ropes as I remember it. So it's been a long time since they've been that good.
So Auburn wins and they advance on now, not because it's a tournament, but they advance on to play LSU. LSU has some business to work on first. They're in Starkville tonight. Alabama's at home tonight with Georgia. That's an 8 o'clock game. You'll watch it on the SEC network tonight, Georgia and Alabama over at Coleman Coliseum. Big news yesterday in football with Alabama. It is recruiting day, but Alabama could be losing a pretty big star. Abi Anoma into the transfer portal yesterday. Big five-star recruit, a guy that we thought we would see some more of during last year because he was known as a pass rusher, a guy that could heat up the quarterback. And really, we thought we'd see more Anoma throughout the season, and he had a brief moment here or there, but now he is in the transfer portal, and it doesn't mean he's going to leave. though a lot of these guys do end up leaving. So seeing Anoma there yesterday was a little bit of a surprise to me. I don't know about you guys who were listening.
I agree. I mean, coming out of that true freshman year where you did see him on the field, and you wonder a couple of things, if he was frustrated with lack of reps, if he really had a tight relationship with Tosh Lapoy, and now that he's gone, he just decides to throw his name out there. You know there's going to be suitors, though, because you look at Anoma, a guy that played at Alabama, a guy that's a former five-star. You know the potential's there. So I would assume if he's in the portal, he's probably going somewhere, Brown.
The immediate speculation is obviously Maryland. When you see a coach that was an assistant on that staff go be a head coach at another spot, you're going to look there. So that's the immediate speculation, is that he would look to Maryland. But I don't know where he'll end up or if he'll even leave Alabama. It wasn't a huge surprise to me, only because there had been reports, or maybe not reports, but speculation based on some vague Twitter and Instagram post, I believe it was, that he had actually left the team earlier in the season or was considering leaving the team. So it had seemed like he was unhappy for quite a while there in Tuscaloosa, perhaps with his playing time. And so when I saw that pop up yesterday, it didn't blow me away. I hate to see it, because you hear that the guy's got an amazing upside and he could really shine at Alabama if he stays there. Not to say he can't elsewhere.
Yeah, five-star guy, but yeah. You have to sit out. If you leave in this situation he's in, he won't have his degree. So unless there is something that he can come up with to get a waiver, you have to sit out a year. So we'll see what happens with Anoma there. But that is probably the biggest guy, without a doubt, that's entered the portal from Alabama. But one of the bigger guys who's entered the portal from the Southeastern Conference. We'd like to do the recap always in the first segment on what we saw last night. And it was history at Auburn, but it was also history for LeBron James. Did I see this? The biggest loss LeBron's ever taken in a game he's played in?
You know, I tried to watch just to see what the body language was going to be for the Lakers last night.
It's not good, LT.
You know, this is one of the most awkward things I've seen in sports, because Magic Johnson right now and Rob Pelinka, they have everyone outside of LeBron and Rajon Rondo on the block. Any of these guys could be dealt any minute right now, going up to the deadline later today.
Kyle Kuzma talking about that afterwards last night, people chanting LeBron's going to trade you at Brandon Ingram at the line, and Kyle having to deal with trade talks. As you said, there is a bad body language in this team, and they can't avoid it.
Rod talked about the best thing to do would probably be just to stay off social media. Have you taken any steps like that?
Definitely, but you know, it doesn't really matter because you know it's everywhere. Doesn't matter. So maybe I should bird box. That might help. Just wear a heavy bandana somewhere.
Bird box.
So he's just going to wear a bandana around town, not look at anything.
It doesn't matter the way they're playing. You know, this is one of those games that I thought they were going to lose anyway. I didn't realize that they were going to lose by 42 and trail by as many as 46. Again, this team is totally lost. They are 7-13 in their past 20 games. They do have LeBron back. But you could see it in the second half, LeBron sitting at the end of the bench by himself. No one kind of wants to be around LeBron because it's such an awkward situation. And, you know, the sad thing is I think this trade deadline is going to come. It's going to go by, and Anthony Davis will remain a Pelican. And maybe one day Anthony Davis becomes a Laker, but these guys are going to have to play together. And, you know, I mean, for the rest of the season, they're right there in the mix for that eighth seed. I don't know how this thing's going to play out. It's going to be really, really awkward.
But this has always been LeBron's reputation, right?
Well, that's what Kevin Durant said in the preseason.
Yeah, is that LeBron...
No big star wants to go play for him.
Yeah, because LeBron's not just the player. LeBron is the player, sometimes the head coach, and almost all times the general manager.
Well, I think LeBron does have a lot of say-so with this team. I think it is different, though, when what he had in Cleveland, he seemed to have all the power. I mean... Do you guys think that LeBron swings a bigger stick than Magic Johnson?
I mean, would hope not. Yeah. I would hope a franchise – forget Magic, Lance. I don't care if it's Mitch Kupchak. A franchise with the history of the Lakers, I would hope they wouldn't let a guy come in and just run their franchise from the bench.
No, it's a really good system, obviously. It's one of the best organizations in sports, although they haven't obviously performed well over the last few years. But it starts with Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka very involved. Now, they do give the benefit of the doubt to LeBron. You are our A. You're our alpha. So we're going to talk to you. We're going to consult with you. But LeBron is not the guy that's going to be shipping these guys out. I mean, Magic Johnson is going to do every and anything he can to get Anthony Davis.
This was part of the plan anyway, right?
Right.
When they got LeBron, they were going to tear this team apart and put it back together. They're just having to do it right now while you still play games.
I'm just wondering, though, Dunaway, everyone is on the block in this huge package deal with all of these – to me, B-plus players. You don't have any elite players that are involved. Really, really good players. If I'm the Pelicans, I don't get excited about it. But I'd love to see this deal come through for a couple of reasons, because obviously I'm being a Lakers fan, and to see LeBron and Anthony Davis play together. But I want to see what kind of parts they can put around them just this season, because the entire roster would be gone.
Yeah, it'd be hard to field a team at that point. They'd be calling up players from the developmental league to fill out the roster the rest of the way. If I'm New Orleans, and you get this, if you've ever played fantasy football before, you get somebody who wants Odell Beckham Jr. for you, and they'll offer you five guys. Well, those are five guys that aren't really good. I'm not going to play them. I don't want them in my starting lineup. I'm not going to give you Odell Beckham just because you're offering me five guys. That's what it seems like. It's your buddy who works over in accounting offering you a bunch of guys for the one guy he wants, and you can't be lured away by the overwhelming number of people that are throwing at you.
Yeah, well, Kyle Kuzma, who we just heard from, is a budding superstar. I shouldn't say superstar, really, really close.
There's not a franchise player being offered to you.
No,
though, right?
Brandon Ingram's really good. Ball's got a ton of upside. Zubac could end up being a really, really good big. Josh Hart is a nice, nice role player. You've got a lot of different pieces here. These are guys, the strange thing is if you would have had this roster with LeBron in Cleveland over the last few years, they would have continued to go to the NBA Finals. They would have been a better version of those Cleveland Cavalier teams.
New Orleans wants four first-round and second-round picks. They're wanting eight picks. Did I read that right?
Well, you look at Tobias Harris, who I think is a huge pickup for the Sixers. I mean, basically, the Clippers got two firsts and two seconds for Tobias Harris.
So Davis would be worth four if Tobias Harris is worth that.
I mean, Tobias Harris is considered a borderline max player.
But if you're the Lakers, you don't get to – I mean, you would maybe get some picks in other trades, but you might not get to draft for, what, four years?
For 4 years.
That's crazy.
I'd like Brooklyn Decker to bring me a steak sandwich and fries.
Yeah, you don't get everything you want, right?
You don't get it if you don't ask for it, Brown.
Out of sight, out of mind. I have not heard Brooklyn Decker's name literally in years of you guys.
And she's married to Andy Roddick.
Are they still hitched?
Yeah, I love Brooklyn Decker. She's cool Instagram follow.
I really have not heard that name in years.
First guy, according to our friends at 24/7 Sports, that will go off the board today is expected to go to Jeff Collins of Georgia Tech, the first Big Four or five-star guy, running back Jameis Griffin from Rome, Georgia. He's expected to pick Georgia Tech, and it'll be interesting to see how quickly Jeff Collins can get things turned around with that Georgia Tech roster. It's going to be a slow build, but in the offseason, he's going to look really good because he's a guy who embraces social media, the normal media outlets. He likes to showcase the program, so that's very different than the way Paul Johnson used to do it. So just instantly, Georgia Tech's going to be out there, and you're in your face a lot today and in the offseason.
Well, I wonder if we've overstated how difficult this roster turnover is going to be, and going from what Paul Johnson had offensively personnel-wise to what Jeff Collins is going to have to do. This is a nice get, but I know you like to compare other schools that are in the mix, and I think the only other school that was in the mix was Dave Durin and NC State.
Yeah, NC State was the second choice there, and it's down to those two. So you're beating out NC State for a running back, and they're not really running back you.
No, but, I guess that is good. They are in conference.
Yeah. Big five-star running back Jerrion Ealy. A little bit later on, Alabama was in the mix for this guy for a while. I'm not saying he's not going to end up there, but the projection from 24/7 Sports is that he's going to end up at Clemson or Ole Miss, and we'll see later on. That's an 11:15 Eastern, 10:15 commitment a little bit later on. But there is some good news today for teams like Auburn. Four-star athlete Mark Anthony Richards, according to 24/7 Sports, late in the morning from Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, Florida, expected to pick Auburn over Miami today. That's a big four-star get for the Auburn Tigers. Later on today for Auburn, they're expected to get four-star defensive end Charles Moore from Louisville, Mississippi, small town Mississippi, over LSU and Mississippi State. So according to 24/7 Sports, he's expected to go to the Auburn Tigers. So a couple of four-star guys today that could sort of change the roster a little bit and maybe get immediate playing time for Auburn.
Hey, go back real quick. I want to ask you this question where you were talking about the running back that's probably going to Clemson over Ole Miss. And I wonder for Alabama fans, if you would rather a running back go in division to Ole Miss than you would rather go to Clemson. Does that make any sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. And I think you're probably right.
Right now, you see Clemson as a bigger obstacle to making the play, the championship, winning a championship, than a division team.
Well, the way it's gone is you see both of these teams once a year, and obviously the bigger game is against Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like you've got a better shot at beating them at Ole Miss than you do at Clemson, is your point, right? Yeah. I think I'd agree with that.
For Alabama, a couple of guys they're in the mix for. We mentioned four-star linebacker Henry Tuatolo, and I'm probably butchering that name, a California linebacker from De La Salle, a famous high school program. The crystal ball leans Alabama today over Washington and other programs. That's going to be a 11 o'clock, a lunchtime commitment on three-man front a little bit later on today. Alabama is not expected to get Devontae Lee, a four-star athlete out of Louisiana. He's expected to go to LSU, again, according to 24/7 Sports. The same thing to about a guy we talked about yesterday, Ishmael Sopsfer. The four-star defensive tackle, also from Louisiana, same high school there. So a package deal there, expected to go to LSU. So that's the day ahead. Darnell Wright's supposed to be the big guy for Tennessee in this class, a big five-star offensive tackle from Huntington, West Virginia, though Neil Brown sent his entire coaching staff 10 strong to his high school a couple of weeks ago there in Huntington, just down the street from Morgantown, to try to sway him. It did not work. He's going to pick between Tennessee and Alabama today, and it's expected to be the Volunteers.
Yeah, West Virginia down at 49th in the 24/7 rankings, so Neil Brown's got to get some stuff going. Auburn could be, because of the nature of these two signing days, one of the bigger stories today. They've got some room to sign some guys that a lot of schools in the top 10 don't have, so Auburn, if they can hit some of these bigger name guys, if they hold on to George Pickens, which it appears they will, though they've apparently had to fight to keep him. You know, he's taken other visits. I read the last visit he took was to Georgia. If they can hold on to these guys and sign some of these other guys, they can actually jump up at the top 10 in some of these rankings, and you won't see a whole lot of team movement because some of these classes are almost done. So they're not going to have a lot of movement. So Auburn is actually the one, because of the space they have, that could do some moving today.
National Signing Day now has the look of a store that has gone out of business.
Yeah, so sad, isn't it? This used to be such a good store.
Well, because, you know, early signing day, it's like when we go through and we look at these guys that are left, it's like everything is picked over.
Yeah, this is the restaurant under new management, isn't it? And just remember the glory days.
You can find some hidden gems out there.
Yeah, every now and then I get a good meal. But boy, back in the day, man, we used to come here and every meal was good. Do you remember that?
But it's an opportunity to fill some gaps, which you didn't have in the old days when this was your signing day, when the day was done. The first couple of days were done, you found yourself, we didn't do what we needed to do at defensive tackle or at offensive tackle. And if it didn't work for you in the early signing period, now you can sort of circle back around and maybe go get a three-star guy to at least fill a hole until you can get to the next recruiting cycle. You had some court rushes that happened last night that included Illinois upsetting Michigan State. Tell me Josh Langford's not missed at Michigan State, right?
Well, Langford is missed, but, you know, they were still winning early on without Langford. So this is a weird situation. They've lost three consecutive games, and to lose to Illinois, that is a bad team.
And maybe the best court rush of the night, Kansas State beating Kansas in the Little Apple, 74-67. Kansas State passes Kansas now in the standings. Rockstar, give me cut one. And I keep going back to this. Keep going back to this. Bill Self, when they lost to Kentucky, said, hey, this game was no big deal. You know, it wasn't that big a deal, a loss here. We came here to win it, but this loss is no big deal. Then they lose a Big 12 game after that where he got upset and said, these guys have to value winning. Well, last night, he gets asked afterwards after they lose to Kansas State, another loss for Bill Self in Kansas in conference. He gets asked afterwards, hey, what'd you tell the team about valuing wins afterwards?
Man, I talked to him for 3 minutes, okay, after I didn't sense anything. I don't think there was any discussion about, yeah, guys, one game at a time. You know, it wasn't like that. It was like, hey, we got our ass kicked, and now we just got to take one game at a time. So that was the extent of that conversation.
Bill's a lot saltier than when he is usually running away with the Big 12 this year.
I think Bill realizes that this is not a great team by any means, and now they're 1-6 in true road games, Bramlage Coliseum, by the way, and I think we've always known this.
The Octagon, is that what they call it?
It is a great atmosphere when you've got a good matchup like that.
And they've lost 4 of 6. The good news for them is they're about to get Oak State and TCU in back-to-back games. That may be the one thing that keeps Kansas from falling out of the top 25. Could you imagine an unranked Kansas team?
In Kansas State, as you get in rivalries, we see it in Alabama and Auburn all the time. You see it in Georgia Tech, whatever, Kansas State last night, the chants from the student section you could hear on TV, FBI, FBI, FBI.
You know, Bruce Weber's a pretty good coach, though.
Yeah, he can coach.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, he can coach.
National Signing Day is one way you close the gap on the best teams in college football. So who is closing the gap on Alabama and Clemson? Clemson and Alabama, it is without a doubt a separation between those two programs, the national champion Clemson Tigers and Alabama, the runner-ups this past year. ESPN did a story on who's closing the gap. We'll look at their story as well. But in your opinion, who has been close? Let's start with this. I'll ask the question before we get to that. Who was close to Alabama and Clemson and maybe has fallen off a bit? That maybe that gap has widened a little bit last season or now a little bit in the offseason. It feels like Ohio State was there with them, and we'll have to wait and see on what Ryan Day can do. If this was in NASCAR terms, it'll be interesting to see if Ohio State falls out of the draft right now.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt, Lance, that Ohio State, Georgia, and Oklahoma have been right there with Alabama and Clemson. Not as good as, but right there with. I don't know that I'd say that any of those three have fallen off. I mean, I think Oklahoma is in danger of it right now. Maybe Ohio State because of the coaching changes. I don't think Georgia's falling
Why
off.
Why do you think Oklahoma is? Just because of Kyler Murray?
Yeah. I mean, I think you've lost. You've had.
But you've got the luxury of a guy coming in that has played in a championship program that's 26-2.
A guy who I love, but he's not Baker Mayfield and he's not Kyler Murray.
He's not, but he was much better last year than he was the year before.
Yeah, but think of how close they were. And those guys, Lance, played some of the best football we've ever seen in college football, and it still wasn't enough because of their defense. Just didn't have a margin for error.
Back-to-back generational quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And you usually only get one quarterback a generation. They had back-to-back guys.
I don't disagree with that, Dunaway. Both of those guys and Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray are special players. But if you put Jalen Hurts in this system now with Lincoln Riley, it puts quarterbacks in positions to make plays and to put up huge numbers.
So Oklahoma isn't falling off.
I don't think so.
Ohio State will wait and see. Georgia doesn't get a lot of love because they've lost to Alabama twice, but I will point out once in an SEC championship game that if they won, they likely would have played Clemson for the national championship and maybe played them better. Who knows? Georgia was in the national championship before. Georgia is there with Clemson and Alabama, in my opinion. There's very little separation. There's Clemson, Alabama, and then there's Georgia right there behind them. I have not seen who this story. I've seen the headline. I have not looked at the story. They will make a mistake and say Texas A&M is closing the gap, won't they?
Yeah, it's the first team they list on a way. I thought you would agree with this because of your love for Jimbo Fisher.
No, I think Jimbo. I think Texas A&M is closing the gap on being an SEC contender. I don't think Texas A&M is closing the gap on being a national championship contender.
Yeah, but if you're an SEC contender, that puts you in the college football playoff.
I know what you're saying. Listen to me.
You got to win the SEC championship, and you can contend to have a chance to win the SEC championship. Texas A&M hasn't taken that step yet. They've got to first become Auburn and LSU, and Texas A&M hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, I think Texas A&M is a long way away.
That's my point.
Yeah, when you start to look at what they're doing recruiting, I mean, if big-time recruits equal championships, which we went through the formula earlier in the show, then maybe this works out for Jimbo Fisher because he continues to sign these guys, and that's what they're basing this off of.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about it two segments ago, where if you stack great recruiting class on top of great recruiting classes, eventually you will win football games. who else is on this list that's closing the gap?
The Texas Longhorns. And I think on the field, you see it a little bit more in year two from Tom Herman in Texas. They beat Oklahoma in the regular season. You saw how they closed out the season against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. And people can say what they want about that being an exhibition game. I disagree a little bit because Georgia had something to prove. Georgia wanted to prove they belonged in the college football playoff.
Right.
They had something to play for. And they got beaten down by Texas.
Yeah, it felt like Texas had a little more to prove.
Let me ask you. Would I be totally wrong, though, saying that Texas A&M is ahead of Texas? Just by seeing what we're going to see today as they wrap up, as they wrap up the recruiting today, Texas A&M got 8 of the elite guys in the state of Texas, and Texas only got 4.
Yeah, I'm not going to say totally wrong, Lance. I think it's a coin flip.
I think the better program is Texas.
Like right now, not over. We're not talking history.
Yeah, history is an easy answer.
History is an easy answer. Yeah, there's no doubt.
No doubt. We're better program, Texas. Better team.
Better team, not even close. Texas has a legit opportunity to go to the 14 playoff next year. Texas A&M has got zero shot of being in the 14 playoff next year.
I mean, not even close. It was a 10-4 and a 9-4. I mean, they were separated by one game, one playing in the SEC, one playing in the Big 12.
I'll ask you just what I just stated, though. Do you think Texas has a chance of the 14 playoff next year?
They do.
They got a chance, and I don't think A&M does. I would agree with you.
They do because they're not in the league with Alabama and Clemson.
I think that's the difference.
Well, that is the difference.
Yeah, if Texas was in the ACC or the SEC, not that they would stack up a lot more losses. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, would they be able to get through Alabama? Would they be able to get through Clemson? Or would they be able to get through Georgia and Alabama? You know what I'm saying?
It just, to me, watching the two teams last year, Texas looked to be a much better team to me.
There's a huge difference between being good enough to make the college football playoffs and being good enough to win the national championship. Yeah. We've seen Washington be good enough. We've seen Michigan State be good enough to make the playoffs. Neither one of those teams close to winning the national championship.
And I think that's Texas right now, Dunaway. I think those teams are – I think it's a good enough team to get there.
No, I agree because of their path.
Yeah, but Texas A&M's not even close to getting there. To me, Texas A&M, watching them last year, was a C team. Texas was a B team.
The year Washington was in it, we probably could have found another team or two that was a better team than Washington. They just didn't have the good enough record or good enough wins or whatever. And the year Michigan State was in it, I know we could have found another team or two that probably were better football teams than Michigan State. If Texas were to make, and like Notre Dame last year, I think a lot of us would go to sleep at night thinking Georgia was a better football team than Notre Dame last year, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I felt that way, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that.
I think they would have played Clemson better for sure.
Yeah. So I see that. More on that when we come back. Who's closing the gap? There are more teams there other than the
Texas. We got three
Texas.
More. So we went with the two Texas teams, A&M and Texas, to start. We got three more teams.
Love to know what you think as well on Twitter. Chris says, even I have to admit Herman is building it right at Texas, slow and steady. We'll be right there with Oklahoma and will affect Texas A&M for the entire run for Jimbo, in Chris's opinion.
You are stuck in that traffic. Rockstar gives you something to look forward to with his viewing menu presented by uBreak iFix. Phone Restore is now uBreak iFix. Same great text, but now exclusive authorized service center for Samsung and Google phones. Broken iPhone, iPad, MacBook, gaming console, uBreak iFix can fix those. 9 locations covering Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, and Huntsville. Visit uBreakiFix.com for all your tech needs. Rockstar.
7 p.m. on CBS, a talent show finally that I think Dunaway would like. It's called World's Best.
What's the Asian guy singing tonight there, Jimmy? Do you have any idea? Is he back?
Amarillo by Morton.
Did he win? Do you win tonight?
No. It's just so they're still qualifying for the knockout round.
So we won't see this guy till Hollywood.
No, we'll find out if the guy drowned in the tub, locked it with the chain locked around his neck.
Oh, there's a tease.
Houdini was doing that in the 20s.
I get to find that out. Yeah.
And then 8 p.m. on HDNet, I saw an interview recently with Henry Rollins, and they said, like, if you had to suggest a movie that everybody had required for every American citizen to watch when they were born, his suggestion was this, Apocalypse Now.
Well, I'd go Saving Private Ryan.
You
all went, right, Rockstar? You laughed.
Might be my favorite war film, though.
Apocalypse Now?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. So yesterday, I was flipping around at Reels, Rockstar. You'll love this.
They've been on Reels for a while.
The real life inspiration for Saul. And so I watched a little bit of it. A guy named H.H. Holmes. Have you guys heard this story?
Yeah, there's a fantastic book called Devil in the White City.
So guess who bought the rights to that? Leonardo DiCaprio.
And Scorsese.
And so Scorsese, they were supposed to be doing this project. Anyway, guys, guy's name was H.H. Holmes, was the first original serial killer back in the late, I think 1888 was his first year. But he built this former drugstore in Chicago, turned it into a hotel, and they called it the Murder Castle. Or I forgot exactly what, something like that.
Yeah, I don't think I'd get a room
what
there.
What he would do was he would get women to marry him and then claim their insurance and get their bodies and sell it for science and stuff like that. So he'd get their cadavers and he'd have all these little secret passageways where you'd walk into your hotel room and it would gas you. And somebody would take you, put your body, take it, do it, a shoot, and go down to the basement. I mean, this was all during the Chicago World's Fair was within like two blocks of walk away. He was just lucky. So he like so many guests from the Chicago World's. The book is amazing.
Yeah, did you read
true
the book?
Story.
Yeah, it's a true story. Oh, so they said the number could have, he admitted to 27. They said the number could have been over 200. But I watched the documentary last night on Amazon. It was 1 hour and 4 minutes. It was low budget. But just a fascinating character and the original serial killer here. It was when the Jack the Ripper stuff was going over in Europe.
Did we put a bullet in him?
We hung him.
Okay. A couple of things in the NFL. One of them is Nick Foles. He's going to opt out of his contract, pay the Eagles $2 million to do that, and the Eagles have to make a decision then. Do they want to let Foles walk, or do they want to franchise tag him and try to get something for him in a trade? If you're the Eagles, what do you do?
Probably franchise him for that $25 million and then trade him. Now, your problem or potential problem is you can get a third round more than likely for this, but is a team going to be willing to pay Nick Foles $25 million to come in for 1 year?
Yeah, it feels like fool's gold, doesn't it?
Well, it does to me, but I think there are some desperate teams out there. So when you start to look around the NFL, let's look at your Miami Dolphins as one of these teams.
You want him, Brown?
I do not.
The Washington Redskins, you know, with Alex Smith, the unknown with that injury. Is it worth a one-year rental for Jay Gruden and the Washington Redskins for $25
million? This is why you don't let the head coach be your general manager, because if I'm Jay Gruden, I would say, yes, give me Nick Foles.
Well, you told me the same thing about Kirk Cousins, Jay.
I know. I'll let Kirk go. I brought Alex Smith.
Kirk Cousins got you
remove
the postseason.
Told me the same thing about Alex Smith.
That's
what I'm saying.
That's why you don't let me be a GM if I'm Jay Gruden, because I got to save my job.
Yeah, that was my point. Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith. I mean, why are we going to the next guy?
The Jacksonville Jaguars. You paid Blake Bortles a ton of money, but he's not going to be the answer. So is Jacksonville a landing spot?
Yeah, the folks in Jacksonville, when I was listening to the radio show down there 2 days ago, they were like, don't fall for it. They agree, or Brown, fool's gold there.
What about the Denver Broncos if you're John Elway?
You seem to be one quarterback away from being pretty good.
You thought Case Keenum might be that guy after watching him, you know, for a year in Minnesota, and Case Keenum was not that guy for Denver.
And you really probably are getting the same thing with Nick Foles, right? If he comes, he's special with the Eagles. Keenum had that special year with the Vikings.
I just don't see for a full 16 games Nick Foles having that magic. I just don't see it.
I'm with you. I think it's fool's gold. I don't want him in Miami for a lot of reasons. Number one, I think Miami is rebuilding, and I just don't see the purpose of spending that kind of money on a rental quarterback if you're going to rebuild. I mean, it's just a waste of money.
Well, you know, I went through the market there. I don't know other teams that would be suitors. I think there's only four teams.
Who are they?
I mean, your Dolphins are a possibility. I know you don't want him, and I would say they're the far-fetched possibility. I would say at the forefront, Jacksonville, Washington, Denver, then Miami. I think those are the only four teams that would be in market for him. And for $25 million, all you got to do is have one of these teams do it.
Were you surprised at what Luganbill said about Anoma's decision to enter the portal?
No, I mean, I think I said it earlier that you're playing for one of the traditionally best defenses in college football under Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa, one of the best programs going. You're going to be playing on a national stage. And guys, who's putting more players in the NFL right now than Alabama and Nick Saban?
Alabama, then Clemson,
LSU, Alabama, Clemson. I mean,
there's a handful of programs.
There's a handful, but Alabama's in the top of that handful. So, I mean, you got to make the decision that is best for you. And we don't know all the facts with Anoma, but if it's just I didn't get playing time right away, so I'm going to go, I hope that's not what it is.
And coaching staff changeover is something that is a big talking point for a lot of these recruits when they go to a school, right? You sometimes are going there not because of the school, but sometimes the head coach. Sometimes it's your assistant coach, right? Sometimes he's the guy who recruited you since you were a very young age. 3 years of getting to know the guy, and then you get to a place like Anoma did last year, and maybe the guy you really liked, whether it's LaPoy or Josh Gattis or somebody like that, is somewhere else now. And that could change the way you feel about a place.
Well, more so, though, when you're about to sign or you've given a verbal to one of these places. But once you've had a year under your belt and you've gotten acclimated and you've gotten to the community, to the program, to me it is a little surprising, because where are you going to go where you're going to have a better situation? He saw the field as a true freshman. As you guys just mentioned, Alabama is sending more players to the NFL than anyone else. You know, year in, year out, you're competing for championships. You're on the biggest platform, the biggest stage in all of college football. I was a little surprised. I said it earlier in the show. And I think now that he is in the portal, he will go somewhere, though.
That said, if you're good, the NFL is going to find you. So it's not like he can't get to the NFL from Maryland. I mean, maybe the most disruptive defensive player in all of the NFL this year is Aaron Donald. He played at Pittsburgh. I mean, it's not exactly – he wasn't on the national stage at Pittsburgh, Lance. But he's one of the best NFL players out there right now. Yeah, so they're going to find you.
If you're going to do your time in college until you get that big NFL contract, wouldn't you rather do it when you're playing for championships?
I had, yes. But it's not everybody.
Rod says look for Anoma to come out of the portal soon and stay at Alabama. That's something Luganville talked about. Joe's next on his cell phone, 24 after. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just one quick question. Has Nick Saban filled all his empty spots in his coaching staff?
Well, that's a tricky answer, because there is speculation that some of the spots are filled that are currently filled will become empty. So I guess the answer to that would be no. You understand what I'm saying? Some of the guys that were on last year's staff that are still technically on the staff, there's a lot of speculation that they will not be when everything shakes out. So
what Brown is saying, that of all the names that have come to town, Joe, after today's National Signing Day, they will announce the official placement of all the new names, and some of the guys who are still in Tuscaloosa's names will not be on the new roster.
Okay, I got you. One quick question. Who do you guys think is going to Alabama today on the National Signing Day?
Like, guys that are committed that will go to Alabama? Is that what you're asking? Like, who do we think will sign with them?
Yeah, who do we think will sign with them?
Well, right now it looks like Byron Young was, when he shows up in an Alabama shirt, I think you can feel pretty good about that one.
He was a guy expected to go there. Of the 50-50 guys, the guys that were still up in the air, the biggest recruit out there today is four-star linebacker Henry Toatoa, who I continue to butcher his name, but that's what I'm going to go with.
I think you've said it enough different ways you've gotten it right at some point.
It's two T's and four O's in different orders there, however you want to do that. But he and Washington and USC are in the mix, and so is Tennessee for the four-star linebacker from California. And Luganville said he thinks he stays out west. Alabama had hopes of getting him for the linebacker depth. But, you know, he's sort of a Tosh LePoy, West Coast type recruit, and with LePoy's exit, that may have been a guy Alabama loses. We'll see later on when he makes his announcement, I believe 11 o'clock Central Time during the three-man front show, which follows us here on Jocks a little bit later on, where a lot of these commitments will have. But as Tom talked about, and that's podcasted at jocksfm.com, for Alabama, it's about holding on to the guys who did not sign early but are verbally committed to you, because Alabama is going to be number one when the day is done with National Signing Day, even with the departure of a recruit earlier on.
Yeah, I mean, losing Bogle, that's a big loss, obviously, but, you know, you listen to Luganville, you don't know. I would imagine the coaching staff at Alabama probably had a handle on the fact that this guy wasn't 100%, even though he had committed to you a month ago. But you still would like to at least get it home and sign him, and to lose him to Florida was tough. Luganville said it wasn't as much the fact that he didn't go to Alabama. It's that it looked like Manny Diaz might get him at Miami. So, in a sense, this might be a bigger loss for Miami than Alabama, though he was committed to Alabama. Alabama's still going to have the number one signing class. This is the type of guy Manny Diaz needed at Miami, you know?
DeMar writes in, no problem with the players opening themselves up on the open market in the portal. Also, no problem with the program revoking the scholarship when he enters the portal. Transfer portal isn't the problem. Bad advice one way or another is. if someone gets bad stock advice and loses their money. Tough toenails to that guy. I've never heard tough toenails, Brown. You're the old saying guy. Tough toenails. Have you heard that before?
Don't think I've heard tough toenails.
Me either. Damara enlightening us today with another saying. National Signing Day. John on a cell phone, and we'll run through an update again in a second. Hey, John, how are you?
But I have a portal question for you guys.
Okay.
All right, so the linebacker news that came out of Tuscaloosa yesterday, I don't know how you say his last name.
Yabby Anoma. Yep.
Anoma, okay. I'm assuming that the portal rules, they apply at the end of your year. That's when you're eligible. Would that be correct?
Well, if you...
your current season, like if... Go ahead.
If you've taken a class... If you've started a class in a current scholastic year...
Right.
You've got to finish the eligible. I don't know how to word this really. You will not be eligible to enroll and be eligible to play at another school until the next semester. Okay. Now he, unless he can find a way to get a waiver, will have to sit out a year because he's not a graduate. So that's not that big of a deal for him. Even if he rushes to a place, he can't play for a year in all likelihood.
Yeah, that's what I was. He's kind of looking not the same waiver, but a similar waiver as Justin Fields. Is that kind of on the same level?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Fields, I think their family feels like they've got a shot at getting him eligible immediately. I can't say the same thing of Anoma. There's been no indication.
Yeah, there seems to be more of an extenuating circumstance, at least an argument on the field side. We haven't heard that on the other side.
Last part of the question, I'll let you guys go. So with this portal deal, is there like a deadline for a cutoff? Like, is that when the season starts? When is the deadline?
No, I don't think so. I think the portal's always open. I think you dive in anytime.
7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. That's a headache. Okay, guys, have a good one, man.
I mean, I think that's the case. I'm not certain.
Again, though, with Anoma, if you don't feel like you have a path to being ruled eligible immediately, then
there's really no rush.
At some point, you're going to realize because he's a 5-star guy who can. In 3 years, be in the NFL, at some point you're going to say, if I can't play immediately, why am I going to transfer and lose a year on the clock here?
Yeah, were upset that you didn't, if it is because he didn't get the playing time he thought he would, and that's an if. I don't know that that's the case, but if that's the case.
Aaron says he has an update on that.
Yeah,
coming
and
up
Aaron in, Suttles will have it covered for you coming up in a few minutes.
In about 35 minutes.
But if that's the case, well, you're not going to get any playing time next year. None, zero. In all likelihood, you're going to sit out.
Unless you have something that gets you a waiver.
So I guess my question is, can I get that playing time this next season at Alabama or even the season after? Because that's the earliest I'm going to get on the field anywhere is the season after.
And then I'm draft eligible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So am I draft eligible with 1 year of playing time, 1 more year of playing time, or 2 more years?
Yeah, I'm draft eligible to a place that puts guys in the NFL left and right if I'm at Alabama. But he needs to do what's best for him. He may.
Oh, always.
Maryland
always.
May be best for him or Texas or wherever he ends up going.
Bobby on George Pickens flipping. Bobby, big Auburn fan, but usually the most realistic of Auburn fans, and he says it's not a surprise to him. It should serve as a warning to Georgia Military College fans everywhere to look out for Garden City Community College when George Pickens picks his destination this summer. So he's insinuating that George doesn't end up playing even for Georgia initially.
I think it'll be interesting to see what happens there. This is a fascinating thing to watch as I need to see who pointed this out to give them credit because I had not really thought about this aspect of it. I wish I could find Kip Adams points out with CBS. He covers 24/7 at CBS Sports. Kirby Smart has landed the top 2 recruits from the state of Alabama in this signing class, which is interesting. Clay Webb, the offensive lineman out of Oxford, who was a 5-star, and now George Pickens, wide receiver. That's 24/7's top 2 players in Alabama. Kirby Smart has both those guys. You don't see that often.
Pickens to Auburn, but you know this is a recruiting battle between those two, between Kirby and his former boss that we've kind of gotten used to.
Yeah, but it's pretty rare you see an outside school come into Alabama and get the top 2 players. That's it. I don't have the numbers of when that has happened. There's probably a time it has, but I don't remember that happening very often of late. The greatest development of our lifetime might have been college football players with access to social media. Because all the stuff you wonder if they ever said, we now get to read it. Here's Coinus Miller, Auburn defensive lineman, retweeting an article from 24/7's Keith Niebuhr about George Pickens flipping from Auburn and signing with Georgia with this comment. What do you call that emoji? The crying, laughing face? I'm laughing till I'm crying?
The laughing, crying face.
Yes. Okay. It starts with
Steve Dunaway sent that one.
It starts with the laughing, crying face and then says, knew this was coming, better stop playing, and drop that check. Everybody else doing it. Knew this was coming, better stop playing and drop that check. Everybody else doing it. It's from an Auburn, current Auburn player on social media.
What does that mean, Brown?
Translate, please.
It's pretty clear what that means, Jimmy, is if you want to play today, you better be paying. In other words, he's saying...
Illegal. That's against the rules.
Yeah, that is against the rules,
I mean, he's insinuating Georgia paid for George Pickens and Auburn should have paid for George Pickens. That's what he's insinuating. That's what it appears he's insinuating.
And that everybody else is doing it.
And that everybody else is doing it.
As we do every day, we do four downs to get away from sports. Rockstar's got four non-sports downs today, brought to you by Vulcan Tire.
First down.
What are we currently living in the golden age of?
You could say craft beer.
oh, that's a good one.
But I would actually say social media. Would you guys agree with that?
I think we're probably there. Yeah, that's a good one.
We may have passed it, in fact.
Yeah, I don't know how to word this, but I think we're in the golden age of
Nick Saban?
Non-Hollywood produced films. See what I'm saying?
Because of the Netflix ability to documentaries.
I don't know how to word what that is. Though. What is that? I know they're still produced in Hollywood, but you get what I'm saying,
studio
right?
Studio films.
Yeah.
That was more 20 years ago when Miramax and the Weinsteins really got on board, and those were, you know, called independent.
Yeah, but I couldn't access them in my home. That's what I'm talking about, Lance. The Netflix stuff I can access in my home that doesn't go to a theater.
I just think we're in the golden age of streaming, right?
Maybe that's it. Streaming movies. I don't know how to word what I'm trying to say there.
I think we're in the golden age of college football. You know, I don't know, can it keep getting better? Because it's been pretty good lately. And I like the playoffs. At some point, does the money dry up? Do we end up going backwards? I wonder if we've sort of made it to the near the end of the golden age of college football.
Yeah, I don't know, Dunaway. I mean, I love college football as much as anyone out there, but it's really top heavy now. I mean, there's not a lot of parity in college football.
Yeah, but it's top heavy with places I like. So,
I mean, I get Jimmy Alabama's excited about this.
Seems to be the golden age to me.
But if you're not a fan of one of four or five teams, you've got no shot.
Second down.
What strange habit do you have?
Well, this one is odd. I've got this paralyzing fear that I've left my garage door open every morning. So I've had to develop a system when I pull out in the morning. I back out of my garage and watch it close. And then as I'm pulling down my driveway, I make a habit, this is so weird, of looking in my rearview mirror to see it closed. Because there were times when we started this morning show, I'd get down the block and I'm like, did I close the garage door? So I'd have to circle the block and go back in my driveway to see if I closed the garage door.
No, I hate leaving the garage door open too, mostly from fear of snakes, not humans.
Well, I don't know why. There's really no fear of it. I just don't want to do it.
But I've never left the garage door open until last week, and now I've done it three times in 7 days.
Well, I came home once to my old house, not my current house, and my garage door was just wide open, been open all day, and I don't know if I left it open or what.
Yeah, we got to be careful, Dunaway. We have a lot of break-ins around our neighborhoods, a brown and the gated. Doesn't have to worry about it as much.
Whatever.
In his task force that drives around his community.
Neighborhood watch.
Yeah, we just, I'll let you know, I'm second... Second Amendment in my house. If you garage door open or not, you come in.
You know, for me, this is kind of weird, but I have to cut my fingernails once a week. I think they grow that fast.
Is there a certain day, like it has to be Thursday?
It doesn't have to, no. But the thing that I do every single day is I document this show every day.
You do. You've got a running journal of every guest we have, the topics. I find that fascinating.
I have a XXL Tampa Bay Buccaneers sweatshirt that I bought in like small town North Carolina when I was dating Maggie. That's how old this is. Sewn on letters and logos.
Uh-huh.
And 88% of the time, if you came to my house and surprised me, I would have that on.
Surprise!
The only time I don't have it on is when I'm entertaining or leaving or going.
In the shower too, probably.
Or it's being washed. But like I will wash it and dry it same day and put it back on. And it's what I lounge around in downstairs in the sports room if I'm watching or doing show notes.
So yeah. House catches fire. Do you First grab thing? That before yeah. pictures?
Well, it is falling apart. Hopefully it doesn't make it to the end of time for me, but I would. In fact, that was a game we were playing one time, and that's what my daughter answered. And remember, Maggie called up, and we did that on the show one time. Maggie yep. called up and said it would be Jim's Tampa Bay Buccaneers sweatshirt. They will bury me in it if I was getting buried. They'll burn me in it now when I get cremated.
Third down.
I thought of this yesterday. Cursing is now allowed on terrestrial radio, but you have to take a 10% pay cut. Are you in support of this?
I'll go first. No, I'm going to keep my 10% because we're getting there anyway. Just a year and a half, 2 years from now.
Oh, boy. No,
you're going to be able to hear anything.
No, not happening. Absolutely not. Not a chance.
Yeah, I think, you know, cussing just for effect, it is a big part of my day.
I'm saying, like, we could just come in here and just drop F-bombs. I'm just like, you don't have to worry about.
No, that's what I was going to say, yeah. though. But on the back half of that, Rocky, there's a chance that we could all lose our jobs one day because of something that is said.
That is true.
So this could make up for it on the back
side. This is almost like insurance. Early on. Yeah. You're looking at it like insurance.
Yeah, okay. Almost.
Well, I would take the 10% as insurance. That
that you never can get fired for anything you say on the air.
That if something happens, yeah. And a hot mic or something one day, yes. I would take that. But not for the sheer enjoyment.
When attending a concert, what makes you that guy?
Easy answer.
Is it not the guy that buys the shirt and wears it immediately?
No, that was bad in high school. Oh, you went to the Megadeth concert last night?
How'd you know?
The guy that sings at the top of his lungs on every song. No. I did not pay to hear you sing.
No, what makes Ryan Brown that
What do
guy?
You do that makes you turn into that guy?
Oh,
what makes you that? Like, if I'm at a concert, I could have the time of my life. I'm not dancing. I'm not headbobbing.
No, I'm sit down guy. I'm not going to stand up.
I'm that guy that looks like he's having a miserable time, even though I'm loving it.
No. I'm not going to stand up for anything. Yeah. No, I'm going to sit in my seat.
I'm not a dancer either.
Yeah.
Because I can't dance and I can't sing out loud. I may lip sync.
Let's say, okay,
along.
Paint a picture. I'm in an audience and I see Jim Dunaway. What makes Jim Dunaway that guy? Where I'm coming back to, dude, I saw Jim Dunaway at the concert. What was he doing? He's that guy that.
I understand the question.
He's on himself, right?
Yeah, I've done that once.
Mine would be that guy that was sitting.
I would spill a drink, but I probably am the guy who's trying to.
Do videos and post them on Instagram.
Is do a video and post them on Instagram or take a picture. Yeah.
It's done away anywhere.
I'm that guy.
He's going through his filters.
Yeah. Am I the only one that wants to be next to the guy mixing the sound? Because that's where you get your best sound. Like if I'm at a concert.
They're not in the best view either, though.
No, but it's where you get the best sound. If you want the best sound, it's always next to the guy mixing. No. So that's how I decide where to sit at church. I sit at church next to the sound booth so I can hear the best.
What makes you that guy, Lance?
I really don't know. It's a tricky one.
That's Four Downs, brought to you by Vulcan Tires. Nothing tricky about that.
I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.